Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
Voices, animal voices, the tremor of cold, the feminine adversary reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
I did not. Did that mean we're live now?
We are. It actually happened. You want me to play the button again? I'll push the button again.
Well, that's okay.
It's only 19 seconds.
Because I'm fairly certain that the wonderful souls in the chat room who are listening now are probably completely clued in that we're on and so that we have a show going on now.
You realize that means nobody heard me say, "Who's your daddy?"
I'm guessing that's possibly the case.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to continue with the place where I was going to continue, because I didn't get my cue that said, "Hey! Badonkadonk."
Hey.
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 Hey, hey, hey. Oh, hey, he, ha, hoodbada hubbada, hib, hib, hop, the hope, hip, the hubbada, hib, hab, hab, the yip, yip, yap, 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 and goat, and goat, and git, and git, and goat. Hey, there's a goat, and there's a goat, and there's a chicken, there's a cow, there's a bit, and I don't know where that guy's going, but he's going to go somehow.
Cookies.
Coconuts? I don't do coconuts, man.
No,
coconuts
I say
are bad.
Cookies. Coconuts are good.
Coconuts are evil. Bad. Evil. 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 Or, evil. 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 Evil.
Or blue coconut slush from Sonic.
I don't know what the hell that is.
Oh, it's good. Have you ever had a slushy?
No.
You ever? Do you guys have a 7-Eleven up there?
We have a bunch of them, man.
Okay.
More than one. I believe they're in every major city in the country.
I don't remember what it's called, what they call it in 7-Eleven, but it's this like really thin ice concoction that kind of fills up inside the cup with this flavoring in it. Okay. Well, the Sonic version of that is a slush, so it's more liquidy, so you can drink it.
Ooh, Sonic version. Does it go...
Probably when you get the brain freeze from drinking it too fast.
I don't get brain freeze.
Well, this is true. I don't know what you did with yours, but...
Oh, I pulled it out and put it in a jar and said, "Hello!" And they said, "Hi!" And we talked back and said, "Hi!" So...
It is called a slushie. Okay, thank you, Bill. I knew it was.
We have slushies up here.
And you didn't know what a slushie was?
No, I knew what it was. I've never had one. I'm not a slushy person. I don't like flavored water ice. I like stuff and substance in it. I like milkshakes. Milkshakes make my belly happy, happy, happy all the time. Happy.
Does your milkshake bring all the boys to the yard?
No.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Yes. It brings all the zombies to the yard. Boom, 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 bada, boom, 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 bada, boom, boom, boom. You know, I had a whole ramble rant to go on with that night, and you, like, dude.
Well, okay, let's.
I can't do it now. The moment's gone. It's all done. I have to save it for another day.
I can push that button.
No, it's too late. It's done.
You know I like pushing buttons.
I am not going to say nothing about the buttons that you might push, because I have read a statistical fact somewhere about Canada. Canada is rated, like, several years, can't remember when the last time it was probably a few years ago, maybe about five years ago I read about it, but it was like for 6 years in a row, Canada was rated the number one country in the world for people who like to press things with buttons, ATMs, calculators, keyboards, phones, everything with buttons. We have some button happy shit.
Wait. Have you not seen touchscreen phones now? That's not considered pushing a button.
No. That is also considered pushing a button. It's really? Like push a button, push a button, push a button, push a button. Push.
Well, let me grab my phone because I want to push some buttons.
Well, look at it this way. You know who Research in Motion is, right? BlackBerry?
CrackBerry? Yeah, yeah.
That's a Canadian company.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
ATM started in Canada. The phone started in Canada. The push button phone started in Canada. Canada likes buttons. What? What's that crap? I'm always happy. Happy family, one hand clap. Four went in and I killed them all. Okay, so I got at least part of my dark spiel going on here. So I'm going to give you another one, because like, this is my mindset right now. The murder is dancing in the rain. Something ain't quite right in my brain. Just saying.
You sound like a poet in hell.
Do you know what? I am going to bring that up, because you brought that up before I was ready to bring it up. Gosh darn it, gee giddy gum gosh. Okay, so some of y'all who listen to the show on a regular basis may or may not know, I'm with a group of people that like to write stories about hell. Jack is one of them. He's in the chat room. Hi, Jack. His story is called The Kid with No Name. My story in this book, called Poets in Hell, coming out real soon. The Kindle is out now on Amazon. Go check it out, because it's like got a really great price of $6.66. My story in this book is called Tapestry of Sorrows and Sighs. I just like the name. It just came to me the one day. But
say it again. Say the title again.
Tapestry of Sorrows and Sighs.
Huh.
It's about poets. In hell, yo.
Interesting.
Yes. So, I'm going to...
You can't... Oh, there it is.
What?
Well, I was going to...
You got to scroll down a bit, because there's a bunch of other stupid people's poet books up there. Who are these people?
Why they don't have good... book 17?
Because in the Heroes in Hell series, it is the 17th book in the series.
Interesting.
In the last 4 years, Perseid Press has put out 4 new books in this series, which was the last book, number 12, 13, I can't remember the number, was published in 1989, and they put out the 12 books beginning before that, from 1986 to 89. Started with Janet Morris and a few other people that she roped in together to do some stories on an expanded shared universe as a result of playing around in the Thieves World universe.
Interesting.
Yes, much fun.
And Matthew says he has a story in there, too.
Oh, that's right. Matthew has a story in there, too. His story is called When You Gaze Into an Abyss.
Mm.
It's great. It's got like all these poetry-type names for stories. It's like, ooh, look at that. I'm gonna run down the list of the names of the people in this, because I've got the list of people in this thing. And it's going to be in the order of that they're showing, because I took this list from a special place.
Oh.
I may even mispronounce and butcher the crap out of some people's names, but they're not all here, so they can't say jack about it.
I can see one of them.
You can see two or three of them.
Yeah.
Nancy Asir. I never remember how to pronounce her last name. Uh-huh. Bruce Durham.
I think that was right.
Asir. I think so, too. Bruce Durham. Jack William Finley. Deborah Corin. Larry Atchley Jr.
I know him. It sounds familiar. I just don't know who he is.
Matthew Kirschenblatt. I think I pronounced your name, Matthew. I hope I got it right.
I hope so, because he'll tell you if you didn't.
Yeah, probably. Tom Barzak. I don't know who P.D. Mack is, but that's their name. Joe Bonadana and Shabbat Legion. Yael Hughes. Richard Groller. Bill Snyder. I know him.
I don't know that guy.
Beth W. Patterson. Bill Barnhill, Joe Bonadonna, Michael H. Hansen, Michael A. Armstrong, Chris Morris, Janet Morris and Chris Morris, and Janet Morris. Let's see, did I get his name right? Hey, I got it right! Woo! So that is the list of people in this book. And they're all very talented writers. They got some good words they slap together and put together things about poets in hell. Because you know what? Where the hell else do you think poets are going to end up? They're all messed up individuals. They all going into hell. Because they all probably, everybody's probably broken at least one of the 616 commandments in the Bible. At least one.
And how much is it going for on Kindle again?
$6.66.
Wow, what a price.
I know, and the print version will be out soon, too.
Yeah, 325 pages long.
Something like that. You looked it up on Amazon, didn't you?
I've had it up on Amazon for a while.
Huh? No, it actually went up yesterday, last night.
I know. I just happened to be up late enough to see it hit. Yes, I guess showing, and I was begging to know why it was number 17, and you explained it.
What's Night in the City? Oh, that's the book story. Number. The number of the book was Hell and Fire and Somebody on a Nook. Who actually, does anybody read any Nooks anymore? Do they even still have those?
I have a Nook.
Is it a Kindle Fire? No, that's a different book altogether.
That's a whole different monster.
A whole different monster. I really would be like it if they'd remake the Monsters movie with some good people.
Right?
Yeah. So they're talking about bringing out a live-action version of Gundam.
I think, was that the one I was just reading?
That was, I saw something new about it today. It's like, oh, shiznas, that would be cool.
There's a couple of them they were talking about that they were bringing live action to, and I was just like, wow, I wasn't expecting that one.
Well, that wasn't the one I would have expected. Did you see the Man's Gone to Sleep? Yamato.
Jar, it'll wake up.
No. Yamato. Spaceship. Cruiser. Spaceship. Cruiser. Yamato. Battle of the Planet. No, not Battle of the Planets. Gosh, diggly darn it. Diggly darn it. Come on, people. Help me here. Help me. Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. Oh, that was actually for Jack to actually help. Star Blazers. That was it. That's it. There was a live-action Star Blazers out a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
Really well done. Cool as hell. Everybody should watch it if you haven't seen it before.
Gotcha.
I think I reviewed it on one of the episodes. Space! Hey, Randy.
So, let me see.
What?
I'm going what? Back here in the chat room here.
What?
They're talking about...
Opa Gundam style!
Yeah.
Yes, I've seen that one.
Is that possible?
They did an Opa Gundam style.
Opa Gundam!
Dude! No! There's no rooms for these stuffs! We don't do these things. No.
Oh, well, I tried.
No! Denied! Dana Veta! I know that means something bad in some language. I can't remember which.
Right. So, yeah, Yamamoto.
Yamamoto. Yamamoto. No, Yamamoto. Yeah, good, cool movie. Spaceship, converted battleship, flies in space. It Wave was, motion gun activated!
It was one, and for the life of me, I cannot remember the name. I was drugged up, you know, for those who want to know. No, not by illicit drugs. By prescribed drugs. Anywho, there was one I was reading about late last night that they were saying they were bringing to live action, and they said it was the bloodiest cartoon around.
Well, that could be a few different ones. If it was Arutsukidai, The Legend of the Overfiend, that's probably the bloodiest one I've ever seen.
It was a Japanimation. At first, when
it was a Japanese one. It's from the 80s.
Yeah, when I first saw the image, though, I thought it was blood. And I was like, well,
they've already done that.
It's not. It wasn't blood, so. And I can't find the article. I was just looking. What did it look like?
What did they look like? Pictures. Well, paint me an image in my head.
The only picture they showed was looked like a Japanese schoolgirl with just blood splattering up around her.
I saw that today.
So you know which one I'm talking about then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know which...
I don't remember what the story was.
Yeah, but that was one of the ones they were talking about bringing to...
I want them to bring Akira.
That would be good.
And Ghost in the Shell. Both of those would be freaking awesome if done well. And that rhymed, too.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to go to the movies now.
Movies.
Movie time. Bum, ba, da, bum. Happy Tree Friends is pretty... that is actually pretty bloody. So I saw two movies this weekend.
What'd you see?
I saw Thor 2, The Dark World.
Did you get hurt?
Why would I get hurt?
Well, it sounds like it was pretty Thor.
Uh-huh, that's pretty lame. I'm sorry, bro. I'm going to have to give you a... No, that one was pretty... Nope. That one don't work. I mean, just because it was dark doesn't mean I hit anything and I got Thor.
Right. So you just now saw that, actually?
Oh, no. I saw it at the theater.
Oh, okay.
I saw it on Blu-ray today. yesterday.
Oh, so you got to play with all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
I watched the behind... Do you know what the thing that everybody who makes a movie has to do and is not being done enough and pisses me off?
What's that?
Gag reels. I freaking love the gag reels.
Oh, I know. It gives you a whole different view on the
it's
characters.
Like, we're talking very serious here. Oh, shit, we just blubbed their line. That's what I did. I love that shit. And it really bugs me when they don't put the gag reels on it all the time. It's like maybe one out of 20 movies I see actually has a gag reel on. But Thor had a gag reel on it, and that made me very happy.
Well, most of the Jackie Chan movies, you have to
Jackie
watch.
Jackie Chan movies always have a gag reel. It's in the actual end of the movie.
Credits, yeah. Yep. Definitely. That's the best time to watch. And of course, you also see his injuries, too.
Well, he had, I don't know about recently, but when's the last time I saw an actual Jackie Chan movie?
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen one from him.
It's probably a few years back. He had said in an interview that every single movie he makes, he has a hurt. He has a boo-boo at some point in every single movie he's ever done, which is kind of given a kind of fact, because look what he does. He does his own freaking stunts.
Yeah.
So, every movie he's ever done, he's always gotten hurt. But I think in the more recent years, he's probably tailed back a little, because, you know, he's getting old, man.
Yeah, he's up there. I wasn't expecting him to go as far as he has, but...
Yeah, he's like 65 or something.
God, really? Is he that old already?
I don't know. He was old when I started watching him in movies. I was like, dude. I don't know. He's probably like in his 50s or something like that. Actually, now I'm kind of curious. Jackie Chan. Mind you, how many Jackie Chans are there in this? Oh, there's a few. Wait, he did... Hey, that's not Jackie.
What?
That's just not a Jackie Chan. That's a... Oh my god, that was Jackie... That was a 1978 Jackie Chan looking like Bruce Lee.
Because he actually did do a movie where he fought Bruce Lee.
No, this was Drunken Master. The first... Oh man. Dude. I actually saw that movie. It was neat. He can fight, bro. He can fight.
Yeah, you're saying Drunken Master. I'm
Oh my god, he's more than 50 years old.
Yeah.
He is 60 years old.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he's up there in age.
Yeah, he's 60, bro. April 7th, 54. Man, he did a lot of movies. What's the last movie I've seen of his? Karate Kid 2? No. No. Rush Hour 4? No. Police Story? No. No. Kung Fu Panda? Okay, I did see that. Forbidden Kingdom? Saw that. Rush Hour 3? Saw that. Robin B. Hood? Oh my god, no, that's a horrible sounding movie. Shanghai Nights is probably the last real movie I watched of his that I enjoyed. And then I saw most of those movies before that.
And I saw The Spy Next Door.
I almost saw that. I think I have a copy of it somewhere to watch. I just haven't gotten around to it.
It wasn't bad.
So, Thor 2, The Dark World, not as good in my book as the first Thor movie.
Right.
Keeping in line with it being a sequel of a first movie. Thought it was a fun movie. I enjoyed it. I always enjoy a lot of these movies. Loki totally steals the movie. Every single scene Loki's in it, the one scene where he's bouncing around, hey, you want me to be like Captain America today? It's like, wow, bounce, shush! That whole scene made me laugh my ass off, because it was like, wow, he's like the big dog and the little dog, and the little dog's being annoying, and then the big dog put the foot down. It's like, that was cool.
Oh, no, wait, what about when he made Thor look like the...
Lady Sif. Oh, you're looking much better now, Thor. And he looks down. No form of mine will keep me from the beating you'll receive. Oh, man, you suck. Yeah, no, that whole bit was funny as hell. And the only other thing I would say is that the girl who played Darcy, Jane's intern, every scene she's in, she steals too.
Yeah.
She's funny.
Guess
I like her. So... That was Thor 2. If you haven't watched it, you should be up by now. It should be on Netflix. It should be on In Demand. It should be on whatever other format or fang foom you might want to watch. It's available.
Sadly, it's not on Netflix yet, but
what?
It is available. Yeah, I actually picked it up for $5 at Walmart.
What? It's not on Netflix yet. That movie's been out now for 7 or 8 months.
Dude, they've had Avengers on Netflix. They're not letting that one go.
What, they have Avengers on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, I would hope so.
Yeah, as soon as it hit, man, it hit the top of the charts. It's still one of the most watched films on Netflix.
Well, I would imagine so. It was a damn good movie. I have high hopes for Avengers 2.
High hopes.
So, I rewatched at the end of the movie the little collector scene. Is like, oh shit, man. Shit. They're going to have some more tie-ins with the Guardians of the... Because that's a tie-in to the Guardians of the Galaxy storyline.
I figured that. That's why I'd asked about the...
The Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't the Infinity Gauntlet because they actually brought him the...
The gems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And said it was another Tesseract. And I was like, that can't be right.
No, it's not a Tesseract. The Tesseract and the one Infinity Gem. The Tesseract is a... I think they called it an Infinity Gem in the first Avengers movie or whatever. No, Captain America movie, whatever.
Yeah, in Captain America is where it got its name, the Tesseract.
Yes. Well, you know what a Tesseract is, right? It's folded space and all this stuff.
Right.
It's power. Pure power. And with that whole little bit with the collectors, like, you wanted to give him some more power? The thing they don't tell you is, oh, which gem? Dude! Because each of the gems have different powers.
Oh, but it has a color. You can see this one. It's colored. When they're handing the box over, you can see a color.
I didn't see the color too well. I may have to watch that again to see what the color is so I can look up which gem it is. But then, mind you, they might change the names and the colors of the gems to suit the movie. It's like, well, I don't know. Orange is going to be this time gem now. It's like, wait, so there was no orange gem.
What was the red one?
Red one was soul, I believe.
I think that was the color they gave them.
See, because that's the most powerful... Well, that's the one that my favorite character used to get all the time. Warlock. Adam Warlock. He wore the soul gem in the front of his head, and he would suck your soul out and feed the gem.
See, now you mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy, and I remember all the previews. Because
Thanos is in it.
Yeah, but you notice they have not shown the villains yet?
Of course not.
They show heroes, but they don't show the villains. Okay.
If they do this marketing right, they're going to do it like the way Godzilla was done and the way that X-Men was done. Not show you the whole freaking movie. Just show you some nice little clips. Oh, look, happy, pretty stuff. Wee, I like the happy, pretty stuff. Look at that. Wee, hypey, pretty. And that is the way to market a movie. Because Godzilla, you didn't have any storyline in the commercial at all. Except for the little bit at the intro at the beginning with, they released something in 1954, whenever the hell they were doing the nuclear bombings. It's like, it wasn't to test something, it was to try and kill something. And that's it.
I like your special effects there.
Yes, that's my my sound bites for the show. I had a thought, but it went away. So, Infinity Gems, yes. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. I don't think that in Guardians of the Galaxy they're actually going to introduce or even talk about that. They will probably sideline introduce it. So like, say, hey, wow, dude, look, he's got a soul. He's got an Infinity Gem. What's that do? Mess your shit up, bro. That kind of thing. And, oh, get this. Sorry, I had to mention this because it's on the Blu-ray. Probably on the DVD. There is a thing called Marvel One-Shots. Did you see this on the DVD you watched?
No, I don't think.
Oh, maybe it's a Blu-ray exclusive thing then. That's cool because I watched it.
You're
so
to look at the DVD again.
You know how Iron Man 3 had the Mandarin in it. Okay, so the guy who was the Mandarin,
right?
So he's in prison, and they have this like 12-minute short story. It's like, that was cool and funny, and I hope to do this with more of them. And if they keep doing these little shorts, they'll probably start showing more of them online and internet-based stuff. Because with the Netflix, with their four TV shows that they've got coming out, there's a lot more ability to mix and match and put these kinds of things together. And it's like, that's cool as hell.
Interesting.
So, ready for the next movie?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Everything is awesome! So everything is awesome!
So what's the next movie?
Everything is awesome.
Right, I figured that. But what's the next movie?
Everything is awesome. I don't know the lyrics to the song. I just know that part of the song, because if I actually knew the lyrics of the song, I might sing it all the time.
Ah.
The Lego Movie.
Oh.
I freaking found that movie funny as hell. It's one of those stupid, happy, everything is awesome. And you got to do the hands in the air when you do that. So it's like, hey, man, that's my jam. Really? Yeah, mine too. It's like, what? Mind-bogglingly drivel, blah, 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 drivel. Oh, this is Batman. Here's his song. It's real music. It's about his parents dying and stuff. Oh, I'm sad. My parents are dead. I've got lots of money. That makes it a little bit better. Oh my god, the movie is hilarious. I really think that they were creating the movie with the two levels, the same idea that I remember with Shrek, the first one, is that it's funny for kids. Hey, look, funny stuff. And funny for the adults, because if you sit back and think about it, holy crap, are they ever commenting serious-like on society. They are pointing out the flaws in major society, and dude, that's like, wow, really? Yuzalls is messed up, yo. Whoa, you just made somebody a member. I'm not going there either. But yes, that was a fun movie. I highly recommend it to everybody who's not seen it yet. It's silly, sappy, forget about thinking about anything because it doesn't really make any difference. It's all about unlocking the power and achieving and realizing that the power of imagination exists in everyone. Everyone's head has the basic building blocks to create an imagination exploration of space. Spaceship! Spaceships! Spaceships!
Okay.
Have you seen the movie?
No.
Hey, stop that. Stop it.
I think he just argued with you.
Huh?
I think he just argued with you.
Well, I win because I'm bigger.
Roar! I'd hate to argue with you on that, but I think he's bigger.
I know he's a lucky little toy, right? I can stomp on him. Stomp!
No, that's not a little toy.
So you saw a movie. Hello. Hello.
Yeah, he did not like you calling him a little toy.
Here, lizard, shut up. So I hear you heard a movie.
I heard a movie. I've heard a lot of
movies. I don't know if you watched the movie. I just heard you heard a movie.
Yeah, I heard of movies. Yeah, I heard a couple of movies.
Which movie did you watch?
I actually watched the new Riddick movie.
Side boob, right?
Huh?
Side boob, right?
Yeah.
Ain't no getting away from her side boobs.
No, not at all.
Just saying.
You know, there was a... Yeah, mm-hmm. Anywho...
So what'd you think of the movie, though?
It was actually really good. It was about time they kind of went back to the basis of it all. If you watched Pitch Black,
Pitch Black.
That was, like, the best, and they brought it back together. So I was like, yes.
Yes, they did the whole, let's get back to basics. We did the whole big thing, and then it's like, let's get back to basics.
See, now I have to break out Pitch Black again, because I want to see if those are the same creatures.
No, they're not.
No, because for some reason, I kept thinking they were.
They're similar, they're not the same.
Oh, okay.
It's not even close to being the same world that he's on from the first movie. Yeah. They're like parsecs away.
Yeah, big time.
Big time.
I didn't like the story tie-ins. They really did a good job of, kind of reuniting everything back together. So you didn't, like, think, oh, this is just another movie. I mean, they really just came in with a whole ordeal and tied them all together in this one, which was really good.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like about it was that there wasn't enough of the Necromongers in the movie. It was just, oh, look, they fucked me over. And then that was it for them. And then they went off on another tangent completely and disappeared. It's like, I like them, though.
Well, I thought they were okay as well. Having them, and the storyline probably will tie in again later.
Maybe.
I mean, he's going to want to go back for revenge, but...
I don't know about that. I don't think he wanted to do this movie either, except it was a money thing.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he seemed to really enjoy his role in this.
Well, if you're going to be a good actor, you have to always project, hey, I'm having fun doing this. This is fun. Or whatever. I'm sure he enjoyed doing the role, but I don't think he looked for this role again because, I don't know. I'm just going off on things that I may not have heard and may have misheard.
Oh, well, I mean, don't get me wrong.
Everything is awesome.
I've heard that, you know, how he is with certain films and stuff. And I do know that he's was really big on the Fast movies.
Yes, that's his baby, the Fast and the Furious movies. But Triple X? I liked him in the first one. LL Cool J in the second one. He was like, that's pretty lame, dude.
That wasn't LL Cool J.
Or whatever, whoever's. Ice Cube, Ice Pick, Ice Diggity Doggity Thingamabobby, I don't know.
Ice Melt.
Ice Melt, yes. Polar Ice Cap.
Yeah.
Or what was it? Polar Vortex, that's what it was.
I think he did not like the second film as well, and that's why he is collaborating with them to put the third one together. So, and he is supposed to be in it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
My favorite line in the first one. Are you ready for this?
Go for it.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Bitches, come.
Oh.
That was like, what the hell? And I laughed my ass off.
I was thinking his lines, and I think you say that line.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was completely out of left field. It was like, okay. But yeah, I mean, the first movie, Triple X, I may now actually want to watch that now. It's full of one-liners. It's it. The whole movie, the dialogue is pretty trite, and there's no substance or strength to any of the dialogue in the movie. It's just all one-liners, one after the other.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it fit. I mean, it was the way they pulled it together, it was like, what was the, oh, yeah. So is Go to Hell, Scarface your final answer?
Yes. Oh, bring it! I live with this! Pulled out and then doesn't get to finish the sentence.
Yep.
I liked that. That was a good movie. It was a good mix of fun and action and everything. Not even the least bit serious. No storyline. No concept. No real, hey! It was just stuff. Stuff happened. Stuff. It was good. Worked for me.
Oh, Howie Dogs Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
You're short and you got a bad accent.
Yep. So you know what time it is? It's that time.
Nap time.
That time.
I was going to say, I'll take a nap.
I'm not doing naps. I don't do naps.
Naps are fun.
It's against my religion. Well, actually, I used to nap. When I was 3!
Mm-hmm. On that note.
Roll it!
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too, and if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, and you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell's broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul. Opened up his case and he said, I'll start this show. And fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. the devil finished, Johnny said, well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, does your dog bite? No child, no. The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best as ever been. He played, fire on the mountain, run, boy, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. A chicken in the bread pan, a picking out dough. Granny, will you don't fight, no child, no.
The souls of the damned are as mired as pitch. Within the well of misery lies the soul of this witch. The wasteland lies dreaming, while the souls of the fallen writhe screaming. Murder is dancing in the rain. Something ain't quite right in my brain. Give me hell, or give me death. I'll scream the dream, even with my gurgling last breath. Oh, and that was Charlie Daniels' band's Devil Looking for a Soul to Steal. Devil went down to Georgia. He had a soul that he wanted to steal from some guy playing a fiddle. I think. I'm not sure. But I think there was a morality story in that song about, well, it might be a sin, but he's going to give in, and he's going to play against the devil to win this fiddle of gold because he's the best it's ever been. Something like that.
And so he wrote a story called Poets, or in a book called Poets in Hell.
The book is called Poets in Hell. My story had nothing to do with that at all. My story has to deal with a poetry slam in hell.
A poetry slam? What's poetry slam?
Have you not ever heard of a poetry slam?
I guess I can.
It's a contest of live. It's a live contest where you have poets who are basically poeting off against each other.
Interesting.
It's like, you, do a poem. Okay. You, do a poem. Okay. And then it's like judged.
Yeah.
And guess, do you know who Samael is?
Uh-huh.
The angel of death.
Right.
Slash, not a very nice person, but he's in hell.
Right.
He's the judge on my poetry slam. It's like, you? No, man, you slapped, died. That kind of thing. So my main character Caliban is put in on the spot to like in this poetry slam and do some stuff and make some poetry type stuff and like say things and whatever, and then things happen.
Interesting.
I'm not going to tell the story away. I'm just going to say, come white, read it. It's funny.
Which is available on Kindle right now.
It is available on Kindle right now on Amazon.com. I won't read off the URL. You can just Google up Poets in Hell. Wait, that actually rhymed too.
That did, actually.
Wowzers. I'm like a poet guy.
You're a poet and didn't know it.
I did know it. If you've ever seen the Lex, every time I say poet and poet guy or anything like that, I always flash back to Tim Curry in one of the movies from Lex the Dark Zone, the first four movies.
Mm-hmm.
It was the second one where Tim Curry plays Poet Man. And he's basically a guy who's been dead for like 50,000 years. And it's his, it's him basically who's left on this planet. And it's a completely computerized thing. And it's just his voice and name image on the screen. And he tries to impregnate Stanley Tweedle, who's the main character, to carry on the race of poet people. And every time I think about it, I laugh my ass off.
Hmm.
Every time. Every single freaking time, yo. But you know what else I want to talk about now?
Well, comic books. It's
been... Comic book time! Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Bow, da, da, da. Bow, 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 bow. Choo-choo-choo. I actually have a small pick today of the comics gotten for myself. Only a couple of books today have multiple covers. Witty whack. We're going to start off with Morella and the Murders in the Rue Morgue. It's an adaptation of Edgar Allan Poe's classic stories, done by Richard Corbin, who is a messed up artist, as anybody who knows anything about that stuff. It's a one shot. I think it's the two short stories, right? It's one story. No, it's just the one story. Oh, cool. Look. Grizzly, murdery type dead things. Awesome. Awesome. Next up, Astro City number 13. Very psychedelic cover. Wow, so looks at all the colors. Look at all the pretty colors. Looking forward to reading that. Next up, Starlight number 4. Mark Miller's adventure romp across two worlds of a man of today and a futuristic world of something quite not quite right in another place. Woohoo! Ash and the Army of Darkness, issue number 8. Oh, by the way, Starlight, 3 covers. Wonk, wonk, wonk. Ash and the Army of Darkness, 2 covers. This one's done by Steve Niles, issue number 8. I think I said that. I don't know what's going on with Ash right now, but he's back in the land of the Deadites, back in medieval time, and they're doing some nasty stuff. Oh, look, that's going to be nasty. I'm going to enjoy it. By the way, this one's going to bug Jack in the chat room. It's just going to bug him.
Oh.
I'm going to have to share it anyways, but I'll be showing a picture of it online soon. It's called The Blood Queen.
Ooh.
It's a vampire story, but I picked this one particularly because I love the cover. It's done by an artist who I actually really like. His name is Jay Anacleto. I can never pronounce his name properly. Anacleto. He does really awesome artwork. I like him.
Sounds like somebody from a Pharaoh's time or the Mummy.
Nope. Not even close. Nope. Not even close. The last book for myself is got this very strong wording on the front called For Mature Readers. The cover, I may have to actually blank out a bit when if I post it online. It is super violent, super bloody, and this comic is messed up as hell. I love it. It's fun. The
what
other...
Is, huh? What
oh,
is
it's
it?
Called Revenge.
Uh-huh.
Issue number 4. This is the one about the guy who's doing an action movie and has realized, hey, I'm getting back in life, da, da, da. And then his girlfriend at the time really screws him over by taking him down to Mexico, and they drug him up, and then they put him in a fish tank, and they steal his face and put it on her boyfriend, and they try and steal his money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a messed up storyline.
Do you know there's a similar movie to that?
Tijuana Brass?
No, it's actually called Broken.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. And Face Off, too. It's the same idea.
Well, Broken was the guy wakes up after having a car accident and starts to live out a life with different memories.
I got another pile of books here.
Oh?
Sons of Anarchy number 10. Walking Dead 128.
Uh-oh.
What?
128.
Yeah, there's a bunch of books for The Walking Dead. New Avengers number 19.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool number 30, continuing on the saga of Original Sin, because, you know, that's some messed up stuff. And then the only DC book that I got this month is Smallville Lantern, which is continuing on the story, season 11 now, of the Smallville TV series. I'm not so really crazy altogether of all of them. The Smallville series never really did it for me on the comics. The TV series was fine. But, Decaf, what is Bill talking about? I don't... Oh, ha-ha, see, I couldn't read Jack's comments here because I was, like, over there, and the books are over there, and ha-ha, Jack says he hates me already, but because he... That's funny. That makes me giggle. I should tell him, though, that I think there were 4 covers for that book. I just wanted the one. Just the one. Just the one. So, other than that, we got like another 15 minutes here to kill. So, I'm going to say, you know what? I want people in the chat room. Okay, you people in the chat room, are you here? Are you listening? Do you got your tinkering caps on? EW, do you?
It might be on. I just don't think it's the power switch is on.
Oh, so it's not settled into place right now, and the connection's not necessarily making the connection between the electrical and the receiving device and going to the power and going through the electrical outlet and then coming out through the other side of the TV and go, whoa!
Totally.
Okay. So, I want to posit this question to you all. I'll slow down just a little bit because I know some people sometimes, I think, might say I'm a little fast. So I'll keep it a little pace down, clock it down just a wee bit, bring it down, bring it down, bring it down a little bit lower, little bit slower, little bit lower. How about this? Does this work good?
I think you need brownies.
No, I don't want any brownies. You know I'm out of cookies today?
I saw that post.
I am really sad about that.
I saw that post.
It's a good thing I plan on going to the grocery store tomorrow to get some more cookies. But... yeah. This is the thinky think that I would like people to be thinking about right now. What do they think of poetry? What does poetry mean to them? What is the concept? How what is the greater thinky think around poetry? And I'll tell you what my thinky think about it is right now. And while I'm explaining my thinky think, I'm hoping that other people in the chat room here will share their thinky think about it. I'm using my big words right now for because I like the big words.
Oh.
And I like fun small words too. So like thinky think. Everything is awesome. When you watch that movie, by the way, you will know how annoying that song can be. So my thing about poetry is that it's not so much what is said, it's how it's said. It's about evoking emotion. It's about evoking a feeling. It's about evoking a perceptual experience of not necessarily touchy-feely, but just sort of like an idea that climbs towards connection from a purely non-intellectual sort of point of view, where it's like, okay, that was really sad, and then that was really happy, or that was whatever, and then feeling that, not so much just understanding that it was. So the connection being, you see the flower growing in the rose garden, and then you see the whole life cycle that it's going through, and then you see the bee coming and doing its thing with the rose, and then going off to doing its thing over there, and then the whole beauty and the imagery of this whole dynamic that goes between everything, and feeling that. Now, in the real world, it's most people couldn't give a shit about that. That's just the reality of how that is. But the poetry is about making a connection to the emotional connection between those elements. So that's what I think poetry is. And I'm reading some responses now. Rhymey shit. Yes, some of that is true.
That would have been close to my answer.
Yeah, well, rhymey shit is part of some of my answers as well. But I'm the difference, because poetry is a form of literacy, words... yes. You can have stories in a poem and be expressive of it and carry through a lot more in a much shorter depth and breadth of it. And, uh-oh, Keenan says he's going to send me a link tomorrow. Oh my God, no! Haha. whereas prose is more of an explanation of things and showing you and allowing your imagination to open and interpret itself, I think poetry is more about making a connection to the interpretation of the imagination rather than trying to show you something and letting you try and figure it out yourself. That's just me. And the only reason I bring it up is because, hey, poets in hell.
Right.
See? You know what I mean? See? Yeah.
See.
What else do I want to say? Oh, there's a possibility I might have a book out this year.
What?
Meh. I'm not going to share the details yet, but there's a very strong possibility that I might have a book out this year. I'm thinking it's a very strong possibility, by the way. I have a publisher. I have stuff. I have the book all done. Yeah, and I'm just waiting to get edits back and doing stuff. I got a cover, too. I like the cover.
Nice.
Yes.
So when do we know? When do we know? Tell me.
I'm good and freaking ready to tell y'all.
Oh.
I'm going to pull an EW, tease you a wee bit, and say, and then say nothing.
That's not quick enough.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because we want to know.
Well, you'll know soon enough.
No, that's not soon enough.
It'll be real soon. I'm sure of it.
No, don't say that.
You can also be poetic in a story. It ain't necessarily poetry. That's true?
Well, that's true.
Yes. I have been told that some of my stories, when I write them, they sound very poetic. And it's like, oh, okay, I was going for that, but cool.
I'm usually very poetic with my pillow, and that's when we get to spend time together.
Uh-huh. I'm sure it's very imaginative and evocative and emotional.
No, I just give it plenty of head time.
Uh-huh. And I'm sure it responds with an equal amount of dead man's rust.
Exactly.
Yeah. Poetry, by the way, doesn't have to rhyme, as Keenan says, because that's quite true. A lot of classic poetry doesn't actually rhyme.
See, that's what I always wondered, because I've heard people do poets, or poems, as they call them, mm-hmm. and I always wonder, well, where's the rhyme? How do you rhyme?
Rhyming was, I believe, in poetry is a much more modern thing. Don't quote me, because I'm not even going to completely say anything about when, but I believe that it is much more of a Shakespearean slash... what is it? What was the period before Shakespeare and Elizabethan? I don't know. Call it like the late 10th century or something like that. That's when it started really being the whole concept of, okay, poetry is rhyming. Before that, it was like, nah, man. It's just basically it's meter measure.
Interesting.
I know that there is still rhyming that went on before then, but it was a style. It wasn't actually, hey, poetry, you rhyme. No, man. It's poetry is about beats pattern. It's about putting things into words that actually sound fun, sound upbeat, sound pretty to them, and a rhythm.
Well, what about these ones that they do it to the music? Is that still poetry?
Yeah? You mean beat poetry?
I think that's what it's...
Poetry is the ones where they're snapping their fingers and...
Yeah, that's...
Hey, Edwardian. Yeah. That's, I think, when it was. King Edward, man, I want to say it was like, I don't want to say. I'm not even going to try and say, I just know it was an earlier period in time and before that rhyming wasn't done. Because if you look, one of the most famous poems, one of my favorites, which was one of those weird things, is like, hey, fun freaky fact for y'all from the zombie here. When I was a kid, young feller, in high school, one of the books that changed my life that made me start thinking differently is called Dante Alighieri's Divine Comedy, which has also got some other names to it, called Purgatory, Inferno. There's a whole bunch. There's three books together, and it's the whole, well, that's really one whole book, and it's a poem. And if you're ever familiar with the expression, abandon all hope, ye who would enter here, that's where it comes from.
Purgatory crap.
No. Purgatory is the one book. Paradiso is the one book. And Inferno, I think, was the second, is the other book. So all three of them together make the combined book called The Divine Comedy.
Oh, see, because I heard you say purgatory crap, and I'm like...
Well, have you ever been in purgatory? It's a lot of crap, man.
Is it?
Well, you know what the classic... Do you know what the classical definition and feely feel of purgatory is, right?
Yeah.
It's a big box of nothing, and you're stuck there.
Exactly.
Until the end of days.
Exactly.
And then when the end of days, all your sins will be reviewed, and you can be either there or there.
Right. But I just was kind of enjoying the fact that you called it purgatory crap, and now a bunch of people are going to look up a series called Purgatory Crap.
Well, they might find some other stuff, because Purgatory is also the character name in Chaos Comics, which is now being redone by Dynamite Comics for Chaos, of Evil Ernie, Larry Death, and Purgatory! I'm doing a quick word to somebody, encouragement of somebody something. Yeah! yes, Jack got it right. Although I always remember it as Paradiso, Inferno, and Purgatory? No, he spelled that wrong. Purgatory. It's available in English. It's hard to read if you're not ready to really think in that style of a beat pattern and that style of language, the words are old school. They're like very medieval style. But then the original book is written in Italian. It's like, I can't remember if it's 1100s, 1200s, 1500s, or whatever. It's an old story. Basically about a dude face who goes down to hell and is taking accounting of all of the souls in hell. That's part of the story.
Does it have to be read in the order, or can it be read out of order?
You can pretty much read them out of order as long as you understand the basic concept overlying framing structure.
Gotcha.
You know, I love the expression now, as I picked up from movies, framing structure. What do you mean framing structure? Oh, the plot line. Oh, the framing structure. I blame Sucker Punch for that one. The framing structure on that movie sucked! However, the individual bits in the movie were freaking awesome.
He learned a lot from it.
I learned nothing from that movie except, oh, she looks good in that outfit. That's about it. But, yeah, so, you know, so a lot of contemporary fantasy and a lot of contemporary horror actually derives from Dante's Inferno. The whole concept of hell, it's where a lot of the modern-day imagination says, hey, fiery, brimstony place, comes from that as well. There's a video game based on it. There's a role-playing game based on it. There's comic books based on it. I think there's three different series of comic books. I know I have the one, which was really cool. There's a whole bunch of stuff if you want to check out the Inferno. Interesting read, but you got to have a mindset to read it. It's not for the faint at heart. It's the kind of stuff like, you like reading Shakespeare? Sometimes, actually, yeah, it's fun. But it's like that. It's like trying to read Shakespeare and Homer. Hey, look, yeah, Homer.
Homer.
Not to be confused with Hodor.
Oh, no, I was thinking Homer. Don't!
He's not very Homeric. Did you know that we missed the International Day of the Donut the other day?
I did see that.
Very sad. I had a donut, though, so screw. Forget that. I'm not going anywhere more on that. However, I do want to say a couple of quick things. Everybody, go buy Poets in Hell. The printed trade paperback should be out hopefully soon. We're not sure. There's some things that the gremlins and the machine people are working out and putting together and getting that back into a good place. Jimmy Stewart had a collection of poems. Say what now?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Oh, speaking of Dante, I have to remember this. I have to plug this. Oh, crap. I don't have the book. Temporizing while I get the name of the book. Temporizing while I get the name of the book. F.N. Roth. Damn it. Okay, so I got his name spelled right. Good.
Ow.
Speaking of Dante, there we go. Kim Paffenroth did a book that I really enjoyed. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's a writer, done a bunch of zombie books and stuff, got a bunch of books out. But he does a book called The Valley of the Dead with the subtitle, The Truth Behind Dante's Inferno. Basically, it's Dante's life, it's him, the writer, and his life after he got kicked out of Venice. And he's going through the countryside in some part of Italy or whatever. And, oh, bam! Zombie outbreak. So, it's all written as if his experiences with a zombie outbreak were what he actually was writing about in Dante's Inferno. It's a really cool idea. If you get the opportunity, read it. Fun book.
Okay. And what's the name of that one more time?
Valley of the Dead by Kim Paffenroth.
There we go.
And if you want, you can find him on Facebook. He's on there all the time. He's fun. So, I noticed that we're getting close to the end of the show. It pretty much is the end of the show. I just wanted to thank everybody in the chat room for coming out and playing with us and having some fun and yawn some jaws and all that other fun stuffs. EW, want to thank you again for coming on the show.
Yes, sir.
I want y'all... everybody else on the whole, hey, the extended world that's like listening in the stuff that I don't actually see because, hey, I don't actually see if you say hi, you're kind of like in the stream of Streama and TuneIn and StreamFinder and all those other fun places. Feel free, come on down, come into the chat room, come on to the Facebook. Can I say hi? After Rot, that's the show. Come and see some more. Facebook, Zombie Zach, that's me. Come visit. Chat room, definitely come visit. And whatever you do, buy some Poets in Hell from Perseid Press.
Of a big surprise, if you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.